The Mystery of the Lost Lenore, Part 33. Hobie was with Alvy. That's right, the same Alvy who only a short time ago had been floating lifeless down the Humbunga River as Roger and I chased along after. This was, to say the very least, a bit surprising to Roger and me. Mr. Freddy Bananas III seemed nonplussed. Almost immediately we began to question the very moist Alvy and the quite dry Hobie. How had Hobie found him? How had he managed to get him out of the river? And most importantly, how had he managed to stay dry doing it? It turns out that Hobie was more knowledgeable of this area and of the river than we had surmised. He knew that only a short distance downstream the Humbunga turned dramatically, and that at this very point of turning there were a number of large, overhanging branches from even larger trees. As Alvy was carried away by the current, this geographic tidbit occurred to the guide, and he hurried himself away to the river bend, in the hopes of shinnying along one of those branches and snagging Alvy as he sailed past. This he succeeded in doing. Luckily for Hobie, Alvy wakened up a bit when the tree-leaning rescuer seized him by his sodden lapels, and he was able to make it up into the tree more or less under his own power, thereby saving the guide any serious dunking. We were all suitably impressed by this tale, and if any had been available, I would have stood Hobie to a number of sidecars. I was all turned around on him at that moment. He was, I felt, an outstanding guide, an upright citizen, and the real hero of our party. Roger was similarly impressed and sang Hobie's praises. Even Mr. Freddy Bananas III seemed moved, and gave him a heartfelt hug, which Hobie wisely broke off before it had a chance to turn into something less savory. We were quite the happy little group until someone, who shall remain nameless, pointed out that we still had to cross the river. This let some of the wind out of our collective sails. We had failed rather spectacularly in our initial attempt to span the mighty Humbunga, and none of us had any great enthusiasm for making a second attempt in the same manner. There was not a great chance that Hobie would be able to rescue the next one of us in quite the same way. It was while we were pondering that very fact that a thought occurred. If it had been a relatively easy matter for Hobie to cross to the midpoint of the river, using the overhanging trees, then could we not use them to get all the way across? This we debated for a while. The primary problem was, of course, the camels. These incredibly useful beasts are, as evidenced by my story thus far, marvelously adaptable and flexible, but they are not considered, to the best of my knowledge, much in the way of tree climbers. But anything is worth a try, as I always say. Actually, I never say that, but we did decide to try taking the camels into the trees, more out of fear of the river than of any derring do. But into the trees we went.